The glass in Sarah's office isn't just glass. It's a pressurized seal. When the heavy door clicks shut, the hum of the open plan office, the ringing phones, the rhythmic tapping of keyboards, the low-level anxiety of 60 junior analysts simply vanishes. It is replaced by the sound of a silver spoon circling the rim of a porcelain teacup. Sarah doesn't use the break room. She has a tray brought in. Two cups. One for her, one for me. The steam rises in a straight, unwavering line because there is no draft in this room. There is only the scent of expensive white tea and the precise, clinical smell of her perfume, which reminds me of iron and cold rain. She pushes the second cup toward me. The porcelain is so thin I can see the shadow of my fingers through it. It's fragile. Yet it holds boiling liquid without cracking. Sarah is wearing a cream-colored silk blouse. There isn't a single wrinkle, even though it's 4 in the afternoon. She looks at my blazer. There is a small dark lint speck on my left shoulder. She doesn't say anything about it. But her eyes linger there for a second too long before she meets my gaze. Her eyes are the color of a shallow Caribbean bay. Bright, clear, and impossible to see the bottom of. She leans back. The leather of her chair doesn't creak. It sighs. We are here to talk about the Q3 projection reports, but the reports are closed on her desk, weighted down by a heavy brass paperweight in the shape of a lioness. "You're vibrating," she says. It isn't a question. It's an observation of a physical fact, like noting the weather. I look at my hands. They are still. But inside, behind my ribs, the vibration is there. It's the sound of the elevators, the sound of my landlord's email about the rent increase, the sound of Mark from accounting asking me why I haven't submitted the expense reconciliations for the Denver trip. "I'm just focused," I tell her. "I want to get the numbers right for the board meeting." Sarah smiles. It isn't a wide smile. It's a twitch of the corners, a private acknowledgement of a shared secret. She reaches across the desk and places her hand over mine. Her skin is very cold. It feels like marble. The weight of her hand is grounding. It stops the vibration. For a moment, the only thing that exists is the pressure of her palm and the steam from the tea. "The board doesn't care about the numbers, Elena. They care about the narrative. And the narrative right now is that you're being stretched too thin. I heard Mark talking in the canteen. He's concerned. Or at least he's performing concern. We know what that means in this building." I feel a sudden sharp dryness in my throat. "Mark?" "Mark and I had drinks last week. He told me I was a shoe-in for the director track. He said he'd back me." "Performance," Sarah whispers. She doesn't move her hand. She's watching the steam from my tea. "He sees you as a threat. They all do. You're young, you're faster than they are, and you haven't learned how to hide your teeth yet. If you go into that board meeting relying on Mark's data, you're walking into a slaughterhouse." He's padded the overheads in the Denver file. He's waiting for the CFO to ask you a question you can't answer. The room feels smaller. The silence from the hallway outside now feels like a vacuum, sucking the air out of my lungs. I trust my eyes. I trust my ears. But Sarah is the one with the key to the executive suite. She sees the ghost lines on the architectural plans. She knows where the traps are buried. "Why would he do that?" I ask. My voice sounds thin. "Because this is a closed system, Elena. There is only so much oxygen to go around. If you breathe, he suffocates. It's not personal. It's just physics. But you have me. I've spent 10 years building a perimeter around this office, so I don't have to breathe their exhaust. And I'm pulling you inside that perimeter." She removes her hand. The coldness lingers on my skin like a bruise. She opens a drawer and pulls out a sleek black USB drive. "This is the real data. The unvarnished version. I've had my private auditor run the numbers. Use this. Don't tell Mark. Don't tell anyone in HR. If they ask where you got it, you say you found the discrepancies yourself. You be the hero, Elena. I'll be the shadow. That's how we play this. We're a sisterhood of two." I take the drive. It's warm from being in the drawer. It feels like a piece of her. I don't think about the fact that I'm about to betray the only person who eats lunch with me. I think about the lioness paperweight. I think about the way the light hits the glass in this room, turning the rest of the world into a blur of gray and beige. The board meeting is a blur of adrenaline. I present the corrected data. I see Mark's face go pale. He looks at me, not with malice, but with a profound, hollow confusion. He tries to speak, to explain the Denver expenses, but the CFO cuts him off. The narrative has already shifted. I am the diligent protector of the firm's margins. Mark is the sloppy veteran who lost his grip. Afterward, in the hallway, Mark tries to catch my arm. Elena, wait. Where did those figures come from? That's not what we discussed. I don't look at him. I can't. I feel the weight of the USB drive in my pocket. I feel Sarah's voice in my head. A low, melodic hum. He's a threat. He's a threat. He's a threat. I'm sorry, Mark. The numbers don't lie, I say. I walk away. My heels click on the marble floor. It's the most confident sound I've ever made. That night, Sarah texts me. A bottle of vintage Bollinger is waiting at my apartment door with a card that simply says, "The first of many." 6 months later, the perimeter has grown. I no longer go to the canteen. Sarah says the food is subpar and the gossip is toxic. She has a caterer deliver salads to her office for both of us. We eat in the silence. I no longer check my work email after 7 p.m. Sarah has me on a private encrypted messaging app. She says it's for security, so our strategy sessions aren't logged on the company server. I haven't spoken to my mother in 3 weeks. Sarah pointed out, quite rightly, that my mother's constant questioning about my stress levels was a form of emotional sabotage. My mother doesn't understand the stakes. She thinks a job is a place you go from 9 to 5. She doesn't understand the sisterhood. She doesn't understand that I am being molded into something elite. Sarah is helping me buy a new wardrobe. She says my current clothes are too accessible. She takes me to a private showroom where the dresses cost more than my first car. She pays for them on her corporate account, telling me it's a developmental expense. She's cleared with the board. "You belong in silk, Elena," she says, adjusting the collar of a charcoal gray suit. It fits so tightly I can barely expand my diaphragm. "Cotton is for the people who take the bus. You're a lioness now. You need to look like one." I look in the mirror. I don't recognize the woman looking back. Her hair is slicked back into a punishingly tight bun. Her skin is pale, polished by expensive serums and filtered air. She looks successful. She looks lonely. "Is Mark still with the company?" I ask. I haven't seen him in months. Sarah's hands freeze on my shoulders. Her reflection in the mirror is perfectly still. "Mark was a leak, Elena. We discussed this. He was let go during the restructuring. You shouldn't be thinking about the past. It's a waste of energy." "Are you losing your focus?" "No," I say quickly. My heart hammers against the silk. I haven't heard from anyone lately. None of the old group. They weren't your friends, Elena. They were your competitors. They were the weights around your ankles. Look at where you are. You're the youngest VP in the history of the firm. You have a corner office. You have a seat at my table. Isn't that what you wanted? I look at the charcoal suit. I think about the secret hunger. It wasn't money. It wasn't even the title. It was the idea that I was special. That I was the only one Sarah chose. I wanted to be the porcelain cup that didn't crack under the heat. "Yes," I say. "It's what I wanted." "Good. Because there's a new opening on the executive committee. The CEO is retiring. I'm moving up, and I want you to take my old spot. But there's a condition." She turns me around to face her. The showroom is quiet. The only sound is the rhythmic ticking of a grandfather clock in the corner. It sounds like a heartbeat. "The board needs to know you're fully committed. There's a whistleblower report coming out of the Denver office. Something about misappropriated funds from 2 years ago. It's tied to the files you discovered back when you were an analyst. I remember the USB drive. I remember the unvarnished data Sarah gave me. If the report goes through as is, Sarah continues, her voice dropping to a whisper, it might look like you were complicit, unless, of course, we provide a definitive source, someone who can take the fall for the original discrepancies, someone like Mark. But Mark is gone, I say. His pension isn't. His reputation isn't. If you sign this affidavit stating that you saw him altering the Denver files before you corrected them, the board will see you as the ultimate whistleblower. You'll be untouchable. You'll be the new face of the firm's integrity. I look at the paper she pulls from her clutch. It's an affidavit. My name is already typed at the bottom. This isn't true, Sarah. Mark didn't alter them. I found the errors in the data you gave me. Sarah's face doesn't change. Her expression remains one of calm, maternal concern. Elena, think very carefully. Where did that data come from?
It came from my private server. A server that you accessed. If you don't sign this, the narrative changes. The narrative becomes.
Elena fabricated data to get a promotion, and Sarah, being a loyal mentor, was deceived by her protege. She reaches out and touches my cheek. Her thumb traces my jawline. It's a tender gesture, but her eyes are like ice. I've protected you, Elena. I've clothed you. I've fed you. I've carved out a space for you, in a world that wanted to eat you alive. But the perimeter only holds as long as we both stand on the same side. If you step outside, you're on your own. And I've made sure there's nothing out there for you to catch you. Your old friends? They think you're a shark. Your family? They think you abandoned them. Your bank account? It's tied to the corporate bonuses I approve. The exit mirage appears before me. I could say no. I could walk out of this showroom, leave the charcoal suit on the floor, and go to the authorities. I could tell them everything. But I look at the clothes. I look at the silk. I think about the rent on my new apartment, the one Sarah picked out for me in the building next to hers. I think about the debt I've accumulated to maintain this life. The cost of leaving isn't just my job, it's my entire identity. Without Sarah, I am a junior exec with a fabricated resume and no allies. I am a ghost. I am vibrating again. Deep inside, Sarah hands me a pen. It's a heavy, gold-plated fountain pen. Don't be a martyr, Elena. It's such a boring look. Sign the paper. Let's go get some dinner. I heard a new place open that only takes reservations 6 months in advance. I've already secured a table. I look at the anchor of normalcy, the small, dark lint speck that is still on my blazer. It has been there all day. I haven't brushed it off. It feels like the only honest thing in the room. I take the pen. The gold is cold against my skin. I sign the name. Elena Vance. The ink is thick and black. It looks like a permanent stain on the white paper. Sarah takes the paper and blows on the ink to dry it. She smiles, and this time, it's a full smile. She looks radiant. That's my girl, she says. She hooks her arm through mine. We walk out of the showroom together. The door clicks shut behind us. A heavy, airtight seal. The street noise of the city is loud for a second. Then we step into her waiting town car. The door closes. The silence returns as we pull away from the curb. I realize I've forgotten to brush the lint off my shoulder. I reach up to do it, but Sarah catches my hand. Leave it, she says, looking out the tinted window. No one will notice. You're exactly where you're supposed to be. The car moves smoothly through the traffic. I look at my reflection in the glass. I am wearing silk. I am sitting in the dark. I am breathing the same air as Sarah. And for the first time, I don't feel the vibration anymore. I don't feel anything at all.